You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good afternoon. Reporting for WFHB, this is Brandon Blewett.
And I'm Elise Perry. This is the WFHB local news for Monday, April 15th, 2024.
Later in the program, WFHB News correspondent Kelsey Pease provides a roundup of the latest Monroe County Board of Commissioners meeting. More in today's headlines.
It is very inspiring. We hear lots of great stories from folks who are humble, but yet commit themselves to making a difference in the community.
That's Michelle Moss, Bloomington Volunteer Network coordinator, here to announce the 2024 winners of the Be More Awards. We celebrate people working for positive change in our community later in the show on a new episode of Activate. But first, your daily headlines.
On April 10th, during the Bloomington City Council meeting, City Clerk Nicole Bolden introduced a resolution expressing support for the Bloomington Transit Transportation Corporation regarding a $35 million grant application.
Resolution 2024-09, a resolution expressing support for the Bloomington Public Transportation Corporation application for fiscal year 2024, Section 5339B, funds for design and construction of a LEED certified climate resilient administrative operations and maintenance complex. The synopsis is as follows. This resolution expresses the Bloomington Common Council's support for the Bloomington Public Transportation Corporation's application for Section 5339 grant funding through the Federal Transit Administration.
The grant dollars that would be used to design and construct a climate-resilient administrative operations and maintenance complex. General Manager of BPTC, John Connell, walked through why he wants the City Council's support for the grant application.
One of the things that really strengthens our chances is to demonstrate a united local support for this project. And that's exactly what this resolution does. And that's why we feel it's very important to include it in our submission.
Grants and procurement specialist for BPTC, Zach Hunick, discussed ongoing projects and made a case why he believes city councilors should support the resolution.
It is a pretty exciting time for transit. I've been saying that for the 5 years that I've been there, but it's really, finally we're on a cusp of really expanding transit in a way that's really unprecedented here locally. A big part of that's the commitment of ED Lit funds to BPTC over the next few years. That's already allowed us to do some pretty cool projects. We're deploying additional Sunday service. We're looking at a high-frequency transit corridor along 3rd Street, going east-west. We've leveraged local funds for 8 additional battery electric buses. So we're on the way to transitioning to a zero-emission fleet. That all being said, we've got all these big projects going on. The biggest bottleneck for us right now is a facility. We are just at maximum capacity at Grimes Lane there. The ability to expand on the parcels adjacent there is limited for a number of reasons. So we are putting together a package to build an entirely new state-of-the-art transit facility. So if you have any questions on that, I'd be happy to try to answer.
City Council President Isabel Piedmont Smith asked how much the grant would be for and what the local match would look like. Hunick responded that BPTC is seeking $35 billion in federal funds and nearly $7 million in local funds.
Great. Could you describe the grant and how much it would be for and how much would be the local match?
Yeah, it's the 5339B Bus and Bus Facilities Grant. Through FTA, we are applying for $35 million in FTA funds, and it's $8,750,000 in local funds, and that's a mix of, ED Lit, state PMTF, and accrued federal grant dollars in there.
Councilmember Dave Rollo asked about the timeline of the grant application. HUNEC responded saying the deadline for the application is at the end of April.
Councilmember Rollo?
Could you describe the timeline for the application to when you might find out your success?
The deadline for submission is April 25th, so the end of the month here. Like I said, putting on final touches on it right now. Usually here back in the fall, maybe late summer to the fall, when you get the award.
Councilmember Hopi Stossberg questioned if BPTC has already selected a site for the new proposed complex. HUNEC said that they are still in the process of narrowing down a location. Councilmember Matt Flaherty said he's glad that the BPTC is applying for the grant and that he supports the measure.
Yeah, I appreciate the proactiveness with which Bloomington Transit is pursuing this project. I think it's been a known need for a while, but also heard from Director Connell recently and the specific nature of battery electric vehicles sort of accelerates maybe the need for this in particular. And just appreciate as well Mr. Hunick calling out the really significant impact of this council's decision last term to dedicate a significant amount of local funding directly to Bloomington Transit. It's really allowed them to leverage and take advantage of state and federal programs in a way that, actually maybe primarily federal programs, in a way that I think not many transit agencies have been able to do. I just wanted to highlight that that's a big deal. So positive news. That's it. Happy to support the resolution. Thank you.
Councilmember Rollo agreed with Flaherty, saying he supports the climate-friendly nature of the resolution.
Glad that my colleague mentioned that. I think it was a very wise thing that the council and the former mayor did. It was to commit to Bloomington Transit. I'm obviously all in favor of this. I think it's a very wise thing to invest in an alternative to liquid fuels for climate and for other reasons. Vulnerability to oil supplies and so forth, and fluctuating costs. The one plea that I would have is that I think we should really think about free bus ridership in the future for all Bloomington, for anyone for that matter. Thank you.
The council voted 8-0 in support of the resolution with council member Andy Ruff absent. The Bloomington City Council will meet again on April 7th.
Up next, WFHB news correspondent Kelsey Peace provides a roundup of the latest Monroe County Board of Commissioners meeting. We turn to Peace for more.
The Monroe County Commissioners discussed a 70-day partial closing of State Road 48 starting May 1st for a bridge deck overlay. Members voted 2-0 to utilize I-69, State Road 43, 46, and the remaining parts of 48 for the official detour routes, as well as Vernal Park and Ord Road for the unofficial detour routes. Highway Director Lisa Ridge said Ord Road will be repaved before closures begin.
We have crews out there preparing Ord Road to go ahead and use our budget to pave that section of Ord Road. Just because we know it's really rough and people are going to use that even though it's not the official detour route.
Christine McAfee with the Probations Department announced two partnerships with local organizations for children aged 12 to 17 and their caregivers. The first partnership is for a free 12-week program with People and Animal Learning Services, or PALS. McAfee will explain further.
With the JDAI initiative and the amazing support from the commissioners and the council, we are able to offer a couple of programs for community members. The one that you see in front of you is a partnership with PALS, which is People and Animal Learning Services out on the far west side. This is for an adult parent caretaker and a young person ages about 12 to 17. And this is a ground experience, so there's no riding, but it's really working with the innate nature of horses, who my understanding, I'm not a horse person, but my understanding is they're super perceptive to people and the energy and your mood and kind of what's happening with you. And they can be very empathetic, and they can help adults and young people start to identify emotions, start to realize when maybe they need to practice some self-regulation. What does that look like? How do I do that? It's a 12-session program. Last week when I sent you this, we had 10 spots available. Today, I'm here to tell you that we are full, but we also have funding to do this in the fall.
The second partnership is with the Parent Project, which will provide free classes for parents raising children with behavioral issues. McAfee will elaborate on this opportunity.
We have partnered with a local youth serving agency, Nancy Hughes Family Solutions, and we are providing a parenting support program for those raising adolescents, again, between that 12 to 17 years of age. This is an educational, manualized, evidence-based program, but it also is designed to provide support to families. When parents are struggling with their kid, you know, with raising children, sometimes it can feel pretty isolating. And part of this goal is to help parents know you're not alone. We do have resources available. And as a community, we want to support your efforts in raising in raising your kids. We also know that 3 hours is a really long time for parents to be able to manage to get away from their families. And so as an incentive, we are offering a $20 gift card for every session participants attend. It's a Visa gift card, so there's no expectation or requirements on what that is spent on. It could do some, you know, it could support transportation costs. It could buy dinner for your family if you're going to be gone, or something just nice for yourself if that's what you want to do.
As stated, all 10 spots have been filled for the PALS partnership, but community members have until April 17th to register for classes through the Parent Project. Those interested can contact Christine McAfee at 812-349-2649. The next Monroe County Commissioners meeting will take place April 17th from 10 to 11:30 a.m.
In today's feature report, local journalist Dave Askins of the B-Square Bulletin reads an item from his weekly newsletter for the WFHB Local News. We turn to Askins for more.
The B-Square Bulletin sends out an emailed morning bulletin every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can sign up for the Morning Bulletin by visiting bsquarebulletin.com and clicking on the tab labeled Subscribe. Here's an item from a recent installment. Crossing over to vote in the Democratic Party primary? The poll that the B-Square recently commissioned for county government races included the contested Republican Party primary race for county commissioner. That's a race between Joe Van Deventer and Paul White Sr. Including both primaries doubled the cost of the poll because the sampling universes for Democrats and Republicans are separate. Anyhow, that's how public policy polling sees it. I did not consider it an option to omit the Republican Party's local primary race. The choice for me was between polling the primary races for both parties or polling the races for neither. Why? Because I think choices matter in a democracy. In that context, the B-Square cannot justify acting on the idea that because Democrats in recent history have dominated Monroe County politics, the Republican Party primary can somehow be ignored, or that a Democratic Party victory in November can be taken for granted. If you're the first base umpire and the batter hits an easy grounder to the second baseman, you don't call the runner out until the ball lands in the first baseman's mitt and his foot is on the bag. Of course, it's not a perfect analogy, and the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce is not an umpire. So it's not surprising that the chamber has taken a different approach to the Republican Party's primary. A couple of weeks ago, at the Building Association of South Central Indiana's forum for District 3 County Commissioner candidates, Chamber President and CEO Eric Spoonmore had this to say, quote, "The Democratic votes outnumber the Republican votes by nearly 2-1. So you can see the Democratic candidates have a clear advantage in elections here. It's also important to note that you don't need to be a Democrat to vote in the Democratic primary. If you're an independent or even a Republican, you can still vote." End quote. This week, chamber members received a member-to-member email, which is a paid revenue-generating service that the chamber offers its members, that included a link to a website that sends the same message. Go ahead and vote in the Democratic Party's primary. Here's the URL. It's govotemonroe.com. That particular member-to-member message came from Tom Winiger, who is a local business owner. The website says, quote, "Anyone may vote in the primary, just ask for a Democratic ballot," end quote. It's worth knowing that Indiana state law does say something about who is supposed to vote in a party's primary. Under that law, you can vote in a party's primary if, in the most recent general election, you voted for a majority of the regular nominees of the political party holding the primary election. Or, if you didn't vote in the most recent general election, you intend to vote in the next general election for a majority of the regular nominees of the political party holding the primary election. But that law looks like it's impossible to enforce. It would require violating the secrecy of someone's ballot or delving into the contents of someone's mind. I don't think anyone is up for that. Anyway, one thing about voting is exactly like baseball. If you don't swing the bat, you're not going to hit the ball. Until next week, this has been Dave Askins with the B-Square Bulletin for WFHB.
Bloomington is teeming with people working for positive change in our community. The annual Be More Awards celebrate them. The 2024 awards will be presented next Thursday, April 25th, in a public event at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. The ceremony starts at 6:30 p.m., or you could go a little early for the meet and greet. Bloomington Volunteer Network Coordinator Michelle Moss is ready to announce the winners right now on a new episode of Activate, coming up next on the WFHB Local News.
Welcome to Activate, featuring real people working for positive change in our community, encouraging you to get involved, live your passion, and make a difference.
Hello, I'm Michelle Moss with Bloomington Volunteer Network. This is a special episode of Activate this evening in honor of National Volunteer Appreciation Month. We have the annual Be More Awards celebration coming up on April the 25th. So the Be More Awards are a way to help recognize and celebrate outstanding volunteers in Bloomington and Monroe County. So we're pleased to announce this year's award recipients. The first award is Be More Bloomington Award. This is presented to an individual or group demonstrating excellence in response to issues of 2023. Be More Bloomington Award is going to El Centro Comunal. Beyond the direct services El Centro provides to its clients, the volunteers help clients find a sense of community in Bloomington through shared identity and culture. The Be More Creative Award, this honors work within the arts community. The award recipient this year is Sandra Frond with her work for Sing for Joy Community Choir, which is an Area 10 Agency on Aging program. Bloomington's only dementia-friendly choir welcoming all singers, but primarily serving senior singers. As a lifetime music educator, Sandra uses her skills and talents to provide expert coaching to the choir. The Be More Dedicated Award goes to an individual or couple over the age of 60 for their lifetime of service to the community. This year's recipient is Philip Trimble with Wheeler Mission Bloomington. Trimble has dedicated over 2,400 hours of service to Wheeler Mission Bloomington over the past 10 years. This year, I am so excited that we got nominees for this next award category. This is the Be More Energized Award. This goes to an individual or a group under the age of 25. This year's recipient is Saran Srinivasan for their work with Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Central Indiana. Saram is not only an excellent big for his BBBS mentee, he is also an enthusiastic advocate for the BBBS program, both in the community and on the IU Bloomington campus. We have two different awards that are for the Volunteer Group of the Year and the Volunteer of the Year individual. They are the Be More Impactful Awards. The group award is going to SCAP, Thriving Connections, Talking About Change Advisory Group. The women of the Thriving Connections Talking About Change Advisory Group use their own stories and dedicate their own time and resources to teach local organizations how best to support and champion people of color who are living in poverty. Then the Be More Impactful Individual Award for the Volunteer of the Year goes to Lauren McAllister for their work with People's Cooperative Market. In 2023 alone, Lauren facilitated the delivery of $345,000 worth of organic food to various organizations, including Mother Hubbard, Middleway House, Bertha's Mission, Second Baptist Church, and more. We have an award called the Be More Phenomenal Award that is presented to outstanding leadership through board, commission, or committee involvement. This year's recipient is James Sanders for his work with the Commission on the Status of Black Males. For more than 8 years, James Sanders has committed ample time and effort to enhancing Black lives and experiences in Bloomington. Our last award was added by our selection committee. This is a special award to spotlight the outstanding efforts of volunteer groups in Bloomington. The recipient this year is the Indiana Recovery Alliance. Indiana Recovery Alliance volunteers provide compassionate needs-based services to local people who are experiencing homelessness and/or drug addiction issues. So again, these are the 8 categories for awards this year. We would love to have you come out and help us shine our spotlight on our volunteers by attending the Be More Awards celebration Thursday, April the 25th. There is a meet and greet from 5:45 to 6:30 p.m. and that will be followed with a award ceremony beginning promptly at 6:30 p.m. at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. Again, I'm Michelle Moss, Bloomington Volunteer Network Coordinator, and we would love to have you come out and celebrate National Volunteer Month. Come out and help us recognize this year's recipients.
You've been listening to Activate, true stories from friends and neighbors who stand up for what they believe in. Activate is a partnership between WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build a strong, healthy, and engaged community. With production support from students in the media school at Indiana University. You can learn more about volunteer opportunities in the WFHB listening area online at bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org. That's bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org.
Support for WFHB Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independent and individual responsibility. More information online at mpisolarenergy.com.
Listening to the WFHB Local News. Today's headlines were written by Cade Young, Kelsey Peace, and Noel Hirashki-Snyder in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Dave Askins.
Activate is produced by Chad Carruthers and Michelle Moss. Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. Engineer and executive producer is Cade Young. For WFHB, I'm Brandon Blewett.
And I'm Elise Perry. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast online at WFHB.org.
The WFHB local news is also available as a podcast. Just search our call letters, WFHB, wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to never miss another local news program.
Listening to the WFHB local news on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news at WFHB.org. You can become a WFHB local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB local news archive at WFHB.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB local news. We are local, longer,